Back with you on The Takeaway, it's Tanzi Navega. It's President's Day, and the country's been talking a lot about the Commander-in-Chief and his powers over the last few days, especially following the President's declaration of a national emergency to fund a border wall. But today, we thought we'd try something completely different.
And Mr. Vice President, Dan, if I may.
We also have to work the dark side, if you will. We've got to spend time in the shadow.
Well, all those memes are basically true.
The American people deserve to have a vice president who commands their implicit trust.
Let's talk about the vice president.
I accept your nomination to run and serve as vice president of the United States of America.
And we're hearing from you on this as well at 877-8MY-TAKE and on Twitter. What's your favorite VP moment?
This is Pooja. I'm calling from Fremont, California. My favorite vice president moment was when Vice President Biden supported gay marriage. It forced the White House to take a position on gay marriage. The subsequent events from Biden's actions gave millions of deserving Americans a right they should always have been entitled to.
Scott Withke, Omaha, Nebraska. My favorite vice presidential moment is when Dan Quayle took on a fictitious character, Murphy Brown, and turned it into much more of a major issue than it needed to be.
A character who supposedly epitomizes today's intelligent, highly paid professional woman, mocking the importance of fathers.
Hi, this is Debbie, St. Pete, Florida. When I watched Al Gore tell the country he was not going to fight the results of the election in 2000, I immediately knew two things. One, he loved this country immensely. Two, we were in big trouble. It's one of the most courageous acts I've ever witnessed.
And I believe it is time to put this matter behind us once and for all and move forward with the business of the country.
This is Jennifer from East Hampton, New York. On this President's Day, my favorite moment in vice president history is when Obamacare passed and Joe Biden was overheard by microphone saying, "This is a big deal," while shaking President Obama's hand. They were both laughing, and it humanized them, and I'll never forget it.
Great stuff, everyone. Keep it coming. Meanwhile, the current Vice President, Mike Pence, was in Europe this past weekend getting a fairly chilly reception at the Munich Security Conference.
I bring greetings from the 45th President of the United States of America, President Donald Trump.
Silence, not applause. Joel Goldstein is an expert on all things vice presidential. He's the author of The White House Vice Presidency, The Path to Significance, Mondale to Biden. Joel, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be with you.
So just a general recap for those of us, including myself, who may not know all of the details here. What is the job of the vice president generally? I mean, it's not just being an assistant to the president.
It's changed over time. It used to be primarily president of the Senate and being ready in case something happened to the president. But more recently, the vice president, beginning with Walter Mondale, has been a close advisor to the president and a troubleshooter, somebody who has access to the president and who advises the president on all matters, foreign, domestic, political, personnel and otherwise, and takes on high-level assignments that need to be handled at the highest level of the government.
And just to be clear, if something should happen to the president of the United States, the vice president would be the first in line to take over that position, correct?
That's right. In our history, on eight times when presidents have died and when Richard Nixon resigned, the vice president has succeeded to the presidency.
Let's take a moment to talk a little bit about our current vice president. 2 years into this presidency, what's your main takeaway of Vice President Pence?
Well, I think Vice President Pence has inherited the resources and the improvements in the vice presidency that began with Walter Mondale. He seems to have access to the president, and in some ways he's performing a conventional role. He's working with a very unique president. And that has an impact on his performance of his job. So that one of the things, for instance, is that Vice President Pence spends a lot of time really acting as the salesperson for President Trump, really, as he just did in Munich, giving speeches, celebrating President Trump's leadership. And I think he really has done that to a greater extent than any other vice president in memory.
One of the things he's also done is sort of be in this position of damage control for President Trump. Let's take a listen to an interview that Vice President Pence did with NBC's Hallie Jackson last month.
Which former presidents told President Trump, as he said, that he should have built a wall? All their representatives have denied that that was the case.
Well, I know the president has said that that was his impression from previous administrations, previous presidents. I know I've seen clips of previous presidents talking about the importance of border security, the importance of addressing the issue of illegal immigration.
That's different from telling the president, though, right?
But look, honestly, the American people want us to address this issue.
Does that sound typical of Mike Pence and how he's been approaching this role so far, Joel?
It really does. I mean, that's a good example, but you could play any number of similar examples where Vice President Pence has tried to sort of clean up after President Trump. When President Trump said there were good people on both sides in Charlottesville afterwards, Vice President Pence came out and said that President Trump had denounced racism. When President Trump suggested that military option was on the table in Venezuela some months ago, Vice President Pence said that the president had suggested that diplomatic or economic measures would be in order. When President Trump indicated that questions about the NATO alliance, Vice President Pence said that that we're committed to the NATO alliance. So again and again, one of his roles has been to sort of clean up after President Trump.
When we look at our most recent presidency before President Trump, when we look at the Obama administration, it felt like Vice President Biden was doing a little less cleanup and had a different role.
I think that's quite right. I think Vice President Pence has done this, I think, to a much greater extent because, President Trump tends to ad lib a lot. He tends to tweet a lot, and he tends to be unconventional and pride himself on being sort of a norm buster and saying things that no other president of either party would say. And so it often falls to Vice President Pence to sort of try and bring the message back to something that's more politically acceptable.
Well, we think about the administration prior to the Obama administration. We think about the George H.W. Bush administration. Vice President Dick Cheney there had a very expanded role. And again, it was a different relationship, I think, than the one that we're seeing playing out today with Trump and Pence. What we saw with Obama and Biden. Cheney's role seemed to be very expansive and also one of maybe the elder statesmen here.
Well, I think that's quite right. I mean, Vice President Cheney was the only vice president that we've had in modern times who really started off by saying that he didn't want to run for president. So Vice President Cheney was very much of a inside the White House or inside government operator. And he was very engaged in moving the levers of power inside the administration, advising the president, implementing policies, shaping policy. He didn't perform as much the political role. He didn't perform as much the diplomatic role. Vice President Pence works with a president who's not as engaged in policy, whereas other vice presidents have wanted to be in the room. Sometimes for Vice President Pence, it may be reason not to want to be in the room.
What would that be, though, Joel? When you say it would be a reason for him not to want to be in the room, for what? Why?
Well, because of the investigations that are taking place with respect to possible relations between the campaign and Russia and so forth, there may be conversations that take place in the White House that the vice president doesn't want to be part of. Moreover, President Trump spends a great deal of time setting policy sort of by early morning tweets, and it's very hard for a vice president in that context to be in the room when that happens. So Vice President Pence has played more of a political role. He spent some time with Congress. He's done some travel, political travel domestically, which serves his political goals. But he's also taken on quite a lot of foreign travel. What's interesting about his foreign travel is that, I mean, Prince, on this recent trip to Germany, he seems to be speaking more to a domestic American political audience and to the president rather than to the people in the room.
Joel K. Goldstein is a professor at St. Louis University School of Law. Joel, thanks so much for joining us.
It's good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
This is Julie Mott from Fairfax, California. My favorite moment in vice presidential history is Teddy Roosevelt barreling out of the Adirondacks in a succession of wagons when McKinley takes a turn for the worse after being shot.
My name is Jennifer, and I'm calling from Glen Rose, Texas. I think my favorite vice presidential moment was Dan Quayle's misspelling incident. I'm not sure if it's fabulous or terrifying that we live in a country where someone's so ridiculous to become vice president.
This is Karen in Phoenix. My favorite VP moment was Joe Biden calling out Paul Ryan during the 2012 vice presidential debate, saying, "With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey." This is followed closely by his other debate zinger, "You're no Jack Kennedy."
This is Nikki Mohammed Farzi from Arlington, Texas. My favorite vice presidential moment in history was when Dan Quayle misspelled potato at the spelling bee.
Scott Witke, Omaha, Nebraska. My favorite vice presidential moment is when Dan Quayle took on a fictitious character, Murphy Brown, and turned it into much more of a major issue than it needed to be.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.